You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Friday to you. We appreciate you being here. Lots to get to on our podcast today. Arkansas and Ole Miss kicks off Saturday morning at 11 o'clock on ESPN. Before then, Arkansas TCU basketball, they play in Fort Worth tonight. We'll talk with Anthony Christensen about that. He's on the road to Fort Worth right now. But we'll start the show today with the letter that Hunter Yurecek sent out to donors, supporters, fans, however you want to term the phrase, yesterday. A couple of notes in it. One, you're going to be paying 3% more at the concession stands on campus. We'll talk about that a little bit. That seems, you know, fairly inconsequential. The bigger story is something that we have been expecting for a while, which is that Bud Walton Arena next year is going to undergo the same thing that the baseball stadium went through 3 years ago, which is seating reallocation. So basically, what does that mean? It means that you're going to be paying the same for your seat from a donation standpoint and then obviously a ticket standpoint as person to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you, your section. And this is going to make people unhappy. But, unfortunately, this is the way of the world now. And, you know, college sports have become a big business. The House settlement is hastening, some things. It's making some of these decisions become a lot more pressing. And, people get upset about it. I understand it. But, Ethan, this is the way of the world right now. If you want to have a competitive team, you're going to have to pay for it. And I think that's just kind of the unsettling realization that I think a lot of fans are having.
Yeah. I mean, who likes to spend more money? I've never met somebody who just loves to have new fees come out of nowhere or prices raised. But it is, I think, detailed in the letter. Like, it was detailed why this is all having to happen. And I think that anybody who reads it, it makes sense. Like, they have a lot of somewhat unexpected. They've been able to expect them, within past couple years with these settlements and whatnot happening. But it's just the budget for the department is having to just completely, they're having to rethink, I feel like, everything. You see all these random little things that they're doing to try and raise money at this point. It's like they're having to get very creative. And so this was the first, like, really firm, like, hey, this is happening.
You do everything one way for so long. And then it all has to change. Your entire, the way that you think about how you spend your money and you allocate your resources, it's all changing with this House settlement. $22 million just in year one. And that number is going to go up in revenue share between the athletes and the departments. Also, as part of this, you've got new roster limits, scholarship limits to a certain extent. You're going to have new scholarships that are part of this. And then, so at Arkansas, just in year one alone, that's going to be $25 million. It may be $26 million in year two. It may grow. The projections that I've seen, the analysis that I've read about this say that it's going to grow into the $30 million within 10 years. There's never been a time in college sports where, and this is happening at Arkansas, it's happening at every department across the country, where a department paid this much 1 year and or had maybe a set of expenses this year like this, and now next year they're going to have a set of expenses like this. And so, unfortunately, it's the fan that has to, foot the bill in a lot of ways. And the revenue sharing, that only goes so far. If you want your programs to be successful, you're going to have to pay for it. And it frustrates people, I think, especially in small markets and in small states, like in Arkansas. And I would equate Arkansas with the Mississippi schools, with maybe the Iowa school, these Nebraska schools, smaller markets where I think things for a lot of years were run like a general store. I was thinking about this. When I was a kid, there was a pharmacy in our hometown where you had a line of credit. You didn't have to pay for your medicine when you left the pharmacy. As long as the pharmacist, knew you, said, hey, this is a good man, this is an upstanding person, this is someone I trust that's going to pay their bills. I think athletic departments were run like that for a long time. it was, you know, hey, we trust you. Here's a handshake agreement. You know, you're going to get this for this much, even though this person over here is going to be getting this for this much. We're going to tailor our agreement to your personal set of circumstances. And what's happening now is that that is going away. And I think that's, you know, there are a lot of people who are probably sitting in areas of Bud Walton Arena. I know they were sitting in areas of Baum Walker Stadium because they got in there at the right time. They might have got in there when baseball wasn't very popular. They might have got in there during the basketball years when nobody wanted to come watch Don Pelfrey's teams play. And, you know, they're just kind of, you know, on bided time sitting there in these seats. And now, you know, what's happening is that when those new seats come open, the people who are coming in are having to come in at a certain donation rate. And they're upset that, hey, I'm paying $10,000 in a foundation fee plus the cost of my tickets. And I got this person over here, and he's been sitting here because he had a $300 handshake agreement with Frank Broyles. That type of stuff is happening. And so what this is doing is trying to root all of that out. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's the way of the world right now. And when you want to have programs that compete, you know, when we talked about this with Richard Cross yesterday, even in baseball, I mean, look at the amount of money that people are spending in baseball now. Look at SEC basketball and how competitive it's become. God knows what football is. When you want to be competitive in all of these different sports, you're going to have to pay for it. And the unfortunate reality is that what's happened in professional sports, who pays for it? It's the fans. They pay for it in, you know, merchandise sales, and they pay for it in you know, ticket sales. Yes, there's some money that comes in from the league that obviously helps, but the best franchises in the NFL or in the NBA are the ones that have these really strong fan supports. And now what you're seeing is in college sports, yes, you're going to be able to have some money that comes in from your revenue agreements and all of these things, but it's going to have to be subsidized by the fans.
Yeah, and I mean, so long as there's a demand for people that want to go and watch these games, I mean, they're gonna have to adjust with it, unless they just decide, you know, I don't, because of these price changes, I no longer want to be in Bud Walton Arena for a game. Like, there might be a few people who that happens with, but I think by and large, the demand's gonna be there. People are gonna adjust and adapt on the fly with how things are going.
You're gonna lose longtime fans. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to support your team anymore. It's just you're going to lose them as ticket holders.
Yeah.
We saw this in baseball a few years ago. There were a lot of longtime baseball ticket holders who were very upset over the fact that they were being, you know, pushed down the line. It didn't mean they were getting – everybody had a chance to renew their tickets. They had a chance to be in the ballpark basically for the same price that they had been in the previous years. But – you know, no more could you sit behind home plate. You might have to sit down the right field line. You might have to sit, you know, wherever. They had like a 95% renewal that year when they went through this with baseball. I suspect they'll have a similar number with basketball, especially if Calipari has a really strong year this year, because the, you know, this process will happen next year. But there are hurt feelings, I think, from this. And, you know, I mean, I certainly understand that. I will say this for baseball. Anybody who's been at Baum for a long time will tell you that the atmosphere changed at Baum Walker Stadium after the seating reallocation, equity, whatever you want to call it. It's different. It's different in that ballpark. The seats behind home plate, the most expensive seats to get, they're empty for a lot of the year. You got a lot of individuals or corporations who have these Broyles Matthews accounts who buy six tickets, four tickets, eight. I don't know how many. I think you can go up to eight. They buy these blocks of tickets, and then they don't use them for most of the year. They have them because they want to be there for the Saturday against LSU. They have them because they want to be there for the regional. They have them because they want to be there for the super regional. And it's changed the dynamic within that ballpark. It's just a different – it's not saying it's a bad crowd or anything like that. It's just a different crowd than it was before the seating adjustment in the fall of 2021, before the 2022 season. Anybody who goes to that stadium, they'll tell you that. And so I really hope that you don't see that at Bud Walton Arena. I really hope that Bud Walton continues to be this, you know, this strong home court advantage for Arkansas not just for the Razorback's sake, but just because it's a fun environment to be in. And I worry that you might lose that to an extent once this happens. You know, not that people are coming to watch a Delaware State on a Tuesday night or something like that anyway, you know, in large numbers. But what happens, say, on like a Tuesday night for an LSU game? What happens on a Wednesday night whenever Georgia comes in? The Saturday games, I think they're going to be fine. You know, the big games, if Kentucky comes in on a midweek, that's going to be fine. But I do think that you could see a change in the atmosphere at basketball, similar to what you've seen at baseball.
Yeah, I think that they've done some things in the past which I get it, not everybody's going to utilize it and do it, but where basically if you know you're not going, you can put your ticket I don't know how the whole system works, but put it up for grabs for I don't know how they reallocate it or redistribute your ticket that you're not going to use. But they've had some things in the past to try and fill those seats that people mm-hmm. know that they aren't going to be able to be there. But I do think in baseball it's probably a little bit more noticeable because of, like, you know, right behind home plate with the camera on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Basketball, I think it would – like, it could change the environment a little bit, but I just think with the nature of, you know, how the, you know, thinking of a TV audience, you know, it's on the court the whole time, and it's going to be loud in there no matter what. It might just change. It would be the people in the arena who notice, I think. But, like, baseball, I've noticed behind home plate it being empty before. Like, that's noticeable on the TV broadcast. I think the basketball with it, it might just be, you know, those people that have been there for so long just realize it's a little different.
Talked to somebody whenever they did the baseball reallocation, and he said, you know, if I spend $20 – for a ticket, I'm either going to use that ticket or I'm going to sell it or I'm going to give it to someone because it's important. That $20 is important to me that it gets used. You know, whether or not I recoup my money or just give it away, it's important that $20 is getting used. Whereas, you know, the people and quite frankly, a lot of times corporations that are buying up the seats in the premium areas now, it doesn't really matter to them if it's getting used. And so, That's where I'm coming from, saying that I feel like the environment at Baum has been changed.
Yeah, I think there will be unique differences with this new seating plan with Bud Walton compared to Baum, just because of I feel like baseball, you know, number one, it doesn't seat as many, and it's super, like, I mean, you're right there on the field. It's a pretty intimate setting. I think Bud Walton, it'll still fill up to where maybe you don't feel it as much, but I think there will be a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, we're hearing from people right now who say, you know, hey, I've had season tickets since this year. I'm probably not going to be able to have them moving forward just based on the agreement that I have. So it's unfortunate, but hey, it's just it sounds kind of callous, but it's just the way of the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of the beast. You got to find. I would not want to be an AD right now.
Mm-mm.
There is not a move you can make that's the right move. You know what I mean? It's like, you make a move that's going to help you from a budgetary standpoint, you're gonna tick off the fans. You know, you make a move that may be fan friendly, and maybe it upsets your coaches because it doesn't give them maybe an extra competitive. It's hard. It's really, you got the NIL component. It's a thankless job. That's for sure. This concession fee. And it's not just going to be on concessions. It's going to be on, I think, merchandise in the stadium as well. So a 3% fee on top of everything else that you're paying for. And my goodness, you know, I'm not totally sheltered because I go to, you know, I go to games that are not Razorback games, go as a spectator. So I know what, you know, concessions are like. But a few weeks back, Arkansas was playing Oklahoma State at Baum in that weekend scrimmage. And you know, because it's out of the season, they don't have any drinks or anything stocked in the press box. So I went downstairs, got myself a drink, and got myself a bag of M&Ms. You know how much I spent for a drink and an M&M?
I'd guess about $10.
Like $14.80 something.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. I kind of like, whoa, I wasn't expecting. I was expecting somewhere around $10. So now you're going to add this 3% on top of that. So 3% on top of $14, it's not going to be, you know, very much at all. It might be an extra 30, 40 cents. But what I think they're doing? I think that this 3%, and I don't know this for sure, but I think this 3% fee is maybe meant to offset the credit card fees that the university's having to pay. Because you're seeing businesses do this now quite a bit. is they are offsetting those credit card fees. They're passing those along to their customers. And so I wonder if that's what the Razorbacks are doing here, because that credit card fee is probably somewhere around 2 to 3%.
Yeah, a lot of businesses that use, you know, like those type of credit card readers or whatnot, mm-hmm. they run into that where they're paying this like big overhead fee that people don't know exists. But yeah, it could be a way to just cancel that out.
Blake?
Yeah. So in that vein, when I was in Florida recently, there were two different prices for everything listed. There was a cash price and a credit card price, and the cash price was always less.
See, and this bothers me. You can't use cash at the games anymore.
That's how they get you.
It just bothers me. Why is it that cash, I'm going to get on a soapbox here if I'm not careful. Why is it that cash is an acceptable form of currency everywhere you go except a freaking ball game?
I haven't tried in so long to use a dollar bill that I wouldn't
you
even
can't.
Know.
You know, they were moving toward this even before COVID. And then COVID comes and, you know, we can pass credit cards to each other, but we can't pass cash. You know, it's so goofy. But, you know, it everything became cashless during COVID. And now you can't pay for anything with cash at a game. You can't pay for a concession. I don't think you can pay for anything at a team store with cash. It's that bothers me. And but that's neither here nor there. Better not get on that soapbox. But these are the changes that are going on that were outlined by Hunter Yurecek. Of course, you know, Bud Walton Arena renovation. He told us back in September, that's what he say, it's going to be on the side burner, not on the back burner, but mm-hmm. on the side burner. There were some things with Bud Walton Arena that they expect they're going to have to do, you know, within the course of probably the next 5 years in terms of renovation and maintenance. It may be small-scale renovation, maintenance, taking care of the critical needs like a new roof, a new HVAC system. It may be something bigger like, you know, changing the seating. And, you know, kind of circling back to pricing some fans out, I mean, if you'll notice, Allen Fieldhouse, they just did a renovation. They reduced seats. Rupp Arena a few years ago, they did a renovation. They reduced seats. Florida State right now, they are in the process of renovating Doak Campbell Stadium, taking out a ton of seats. I think that we have – I have no doubt that we have seen kind of the apex of these big capacity – venues, and you know, it's not gonna surprise me at all. In fact, I think that that's what we expect whenever Bud Walton Arena gets renovated, that they're gonna lose some seating. Maybe not a whole lot, but you know, maybe it goes from 19,000 to 17,500 or something like that. We've hit the pinnacle of these large seat football and basketball arenas and some other sports, and you're gonna start to see seating decrease because there are gonna be a lot of people who say, hey, look, I can't go to the game. I can't buy season tickets, that's for sure. Maybe I'll, you know, take the money that I was going to buy season tickets and I'll just put it in to buying on the secondary market for one game, you know, really quality seats. But the majority of people, you know, they're going to invest in your team by buying an 85-inch Samsung and hanging it in their living room or hanging it in their man cave or whatever the case might be. And that's how they're going to enjoy their team moving forward.
Yeah, and it's hard to... You know, it's because you got to think about those midweek random games at Bud Walton Arena and not the – because, you know, whenever Kentucky comes to town or name another big team, like you're going to be able to fill –
Alabama.
Yeah, you'll fill your big 19,000 arena, but it's those games in the middle of the week that, you know, it adds up where you're you aren't filling it up. But
I've heard Jimmy Dykes say this before. He said and this is him. He said, I said it at the time that they built Bud Walton Arena too big. You only fill Bud Walton Arena up, you know, a couple, three times as it is already. And now I feel like it's going to be more difficult to do that moving forward.
Can I talk about my favorite part of his letter, though?
What's that?
The one glimmer of, hey, this is actually pretty good. It's new special event opportunities.
Yeah, more Garth Brooks
more
concerts.
More Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson. Yeah. I wonder who the next one will be.
If they can get George Strait at Razorback Stadium, I'm there.
Okay. Well, I'll get on the phone with Hunter and ask him.
Like what would your ideal concert at Razorback Stadium be?
I'd be down for George Strait.
That would be awesome. There really aren't just a whole lot of people I feel like that could fill up that stadium.
He would.
Garth Brooks. I was at the Garth Brooks concert, and it was a really cool. Like I was sitting down, basically kind of where the student section band is. That's where my seats were, and I'm looking up there in the southeast. south end zone, and there are people like just hanging over. I mean, there have never been that many people in that stadium before, but there aren't a whole lot of Garth Brooks out there that would fill up that stadium.
Yeah,
Garth would, George Taylor Swift. That would fill up the stadium.
They got her, but I don't think that's gonna. Who knows?
Yeah, Blake, did you have something?
I was just gonna tell you my pick for what concert I would like to see it.
Yeah, what do you got?
Talking Heads.
Do you think they're gonna fill 80,000 seats?
I don't know if it's some kind of reunion tour, you know. I don't know. Probably not 80,000.
You might maybe get Bluey on tour. I know the kids love Bluey, just and that's a thing, because I met somebody the other day that said they were taking their kid to Bluey on tour.
Oh.
I don't even know what Bluey is, but I figured you
Bluey. No, I know Bluey. Bluey's okay. Bluey's like it's like Disney's equivalent of Peppa Pig.
Oh, okay.
You know Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
My daughter dressed as Peppa Pig last night for Halloween.
Wow.
One of my daughters, and the other one dressed as Taylor Swift.
Nice.
And the son dressed as a minion. Did you go trick-or-treating?
No.
I had a terrible Halloween experience. I got hit by a freaking deer in between one grandparent. We were going from one set of grandparents' neighborhood to the other set of grandparents' neighborhood, and it's about sundown, and I'm driving, and just kind of out of my peripheral, I see something running alongside me, and that deer is the same color as the freaking grass. And I hit my brakes, lay on my horn, boom, right in the side of my truck.
A deer is such, you know, whenever you see a deer near your car, it's just such a helpless situation because you can't control what it's about to do.
And the thing didn't die either. That was like if it dies, I take some solace in the fact that, okay, you paid for this. He just prances on into the woods like, hey, look what I did.
Yeah. Screw you. Happy Halloween. But yeah, no, I didn't.
That ruined Halloween for us last night.
I didn't have much of a, I did go raid Target. They had some very discounted candy, and I got some Almond Joys.
They had discounted candy on Halloween, because usually they don't discount it till November 1st.
They're getting ready for Christmas, and they were ready to put that Christmas stuff out.
Do you consider November 1st Christmas season?
No.
Blake?
Yeah, I put my tree up a couple nights ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So see, this is the time. This is the day of the year that you're going to start seeing the Christmas commercials. You know, the Lexus with the bow around it.
You got to have your soapbox. Let me have mine. We had 90-degree weather like last week. Now we're finally getting actual fall, and people are tearing all the fall stuff down. Just throw up the trees. Guys, we didn't have fall until just now. We had summer a week ago. It was 90.
I've seen a lot of houses. They had Halloween lights up, and those Halloween lights will just convert right to Christmas lights.
Ah.
See,
that's cool.
I think that I'm very much a strict, once Thanksgiving's over, do your thing.
You're Andy Rooney.
Who?
Oh, my gosh. You know Andy Rooney, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Andy Rooney. He used to be on 60 Minutes.
I've heard the name, actually.
Yeah, so they would close 60 Minutes with an Andy Rooney commentary. He gave a commentary one time, pretty much what you're saying, because you're like 90 in a whatever age you are body. But it's he was like, why don't we celebrate Thanksgiving? Why don't we have Thanksgiving season? And his whole deal was, we skip from Halloween right into Christmas, and Thanksgiving doesn't get its shine.
Yeah, he's on the money. I mean, just enjoy the fall that we are finally getting, and it's fall. And Christmas, see, here's the thing. The moment I see Christmas stuff going on, it's just cold season. It's dark, early season. Which,
yeah,
like,
but the seasons are shifting.
We do have daylight savings, like, very soon.
Yeah, this weekend.
Well, at least, you know, last night was perfect weather for trick-or-treating. I dressed up.
Yeah. I was.
Yeah, I dressed as a deer, and some guy that was driving too fast hit me.
Yeah, running along Howard Nickel. Yeah. Thanks, Blake.
Matt described your movement as prancing, by the way. So
yeah. I got away with it. Yeah, I wasn't too banged up.
Gallivanting off into the forest.
I was prepared for if anybody came knocking on my apartment door, which I didn't expect. But I had some honey roasted cashews that we were going to dump in some kids' hands. But no, we had no takers.
All right. We're going to get to Razorback football and basketball. We're going to have Anthony Christensen on the line here in just a minute. He's on his way down to Dallas-Fort Worth to cover this game this evening between Arkansas and TCU. We'll talk to him, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kindle King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Arkansas basketball back on the court tonight in Fort Worth, taking on TCU. This is not on the Horned Frogs campus. This game is going to be played at Dickey's Arena downtown. This is an arena that's just been built within the last few years, a real nice, you know, concert, multi-event type venue in downtown Fort Worth. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off. There is no TV. There is no stream. There is no TCU radio. The only way you can, like, follow along this game is on the Razorback Sports Network with Chuck Barrett and Matt Zimmerman tonight, and then Anthony Christensen will also be there covering it for our website at wholehogsports.com. Anthony is en route to Fort Worth right now. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be back on the road for some hoops. These are the best trips, right? So I'm excited. I don't know about everybody else. Maybe everybody else can't watch it, I guess. But I'm looking forward to it.
Are you watching for deer?
What was that?
Are you looking out for deer?
I am always looking out for deer. I'm an animal lover, so I've made it my goal to never kill an animal on the road, and so far so good. So let's hope that streak continues.
I got hit by a deer last night. I'm still pretty ticked off about it. That's got my mood down this morning on a Friday. Hey, let's talk to you about this game this evening. What do you expect to see from Arkansas after the way they played Kansas last week?
I'm expecting them to kind of, I guess, maybe try to continue to build on that that backcourt chemistry. Obviously, it was very good between DJ Wagner and Boogie Fland. Maybe try to get John L. Davis more involved, get him to see, you know, the ball go through the net some more than he did against Kansas. I also, we don't know if Jonas Eddie was going to be playing or not. I asked Chin Coleman about that when we got to talk to him for the pregame media availability, and he gave a very non-answer. just kind of said that he thinks it's up to the medical staff, and we'll see, basically. So if he's able to play, I think maybe we'll see them really kind of try to, play through him and maybe kind of, get a front court presence going, which we did kind of see against Kansas with Zvonimir Ivicic and Trevin Brazil and Adu Thiro to an extent. But, I mean, those are more guys who are going to stretch the floor, not really your traditional centers. So if Jonas Adu can play, then maybe you see Arkansas maybe try to play through him a little bit, get used to playing with a more traditional center. Not to say he can't, you know, have like that range that those guys do have, because, you know, that's something he's been working on adding to his game. But that's another thing, and maybe work on some zone offense and stuff like that as well. So that's kind of and maybe I'm rambling at this point, but those are kind of some of the points that I'm kind of watching for tonight.
TCU, I mean, they're a tournament team. I think the last 3 years under Jamie Dixon, you know a lot about them. I know you've studied up on them quite a bit. What kind of team is this? Where do they fit within the Big 12, which is obviously a great basketball conference?
Yeah, so this is kind of a team that's rebuilding, right? Like, they've only got one scholarship returner back, and that's Ernest Uday, who kind of funnily transferred there from Kansas. He's kind of the focal point of that team. And you bring in a lot of guys from a lot of different mid-majors. I think of, you know, a guy like Vishon Elliott coming over from Old Dominion, he's a guy who can fill it up. Brendan Wenzel coming from Wyoming, he's another guy who's, you know, more of that three-point threat. But it's kind of a team in a bit of a rebuild phase. I mean, it's not somebody you're going to think of as a Big 12 contender. They reportedly lost pretty handily to Texas in one of those secret scrimmages. Mm-hmm. So it's a team that's kind of looking to put it together. based on, you know, what we know about it. But I mean, Jamie Dixon, I mean, he's a winning coach. He's got a proven track record, especially there at TCU. And I mean, it's going to be a Jamie Dixon team, right? They're going to be hard to break down. They're going to be, tough, physical, and things of those, of that nature. So that's another thing to kind of look for ahead of tonight.
For Arkansas, well, I want to go back real quick. Jen Coleman spoke to the media this week, and we actually kind of touched on this earlier in the week, that you're going to hear from assistant coaches, I think, more under Calipari than we have pretty much ever. He lets the assistant coaches go out and do the game previews. And so with that said, we heard from Jen Coleman earlier in the week. Just what were some of the things that he said that stood out to you?
The biggest thing that – or I guess the biggest two things that kind of stood out to me was just kind of how he spoke about John L. Davis, kind of in the same line that John Calipari had after the Kansas game, like very happy with how he played, even though he didn't, you know, he didn't shoot as well as he would like. He fought on defense. He got good looks is the thing that I keep telling people in regard to John L. Davis. If they're concerned about him, you know, finishing with, you know, however many points he finished with, like he got the right looks. Sometimes your shot just doesn't fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think to a moment, I forget who he handed the ball off to, but then he hands the ball off to, I think it was DJ Wagner or somebody, but he hands the ball off. He sets a really nice little ghost screen to create space for himself in the corner and gets an open look. Didn't make the shot, but it was a really nice just kind of motion that you really want to see from a guy like him. And Jen Coleman had said on the bench, you know, he wasn't really overly concerned about, you know, his own shooting. Like, you know, his shot will come eventually. That's just the player he is. But he was saying, like, you know, I'm going to fight on defense. I'm going to do what we need to do to win this game. And I mean, that's kind of what you need from a guy like that with the experience he has in that moment when his shot isn't falling. He's still going to find a way to affect the game and affect winning, which is why you bring a guy like him in. And, you know, it's part of the reason why he was a big part of that Florida Atlantic Final Four team a couple of years ago. And then another thing he had mentioned was Zvonimir Ivicic and just how much, you know, just being able to practice and be eligible to play has really helped him. Because, I mean, if you remember, like, last season when he was at Kentucky, he wasn't eligible to play until SEC play. And he had dealt with some stuff, you know, in the preseason and everything along that line, those lines that mm-hmm. you know, kept him out of practice. So, I mean, he's been in practice, he's been with the team. And I think you could tell just by watching him play how just kind of in sync and in tune he was with the rest of the team. You know, he's a guy who offers, mm-hmm. you know, that floor spacing at the five spot that you don't really necessarily get with a Jonas Adu, and probably more so than you get with somebody like Trevin Brazil at that spot. And that's not to say I think, you know, Ivicic is going to be the everyday starter or anything like that. Maybe it's matchup based or, you know, stuff like that. But I would expect Jonas Adu to be the starter just because of his rim protection and everything along those lines. But Jim Coleman had talked about, you know, how they've been working with him on his offensive and defensive games, and talked about how he was kind of trying to get him to look at Domantas Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings, and kind of maybe not to say that they're, you know, one for one, you know, player comparison, but like taking what Sabonis does for the Kings and kind of maybe implementing a little bit of that for Ivicic with Arkansas, which I felt was really interesting and probably exciting if you hear that from the outside looking in.
In the did you have a question, Ethan?
Yeah, I was just gonna ask Anthony, going to TCU, I know they've kept on repeatedly talking about trying to get healthy for their first game and to have everybody at full strength. Do you think that this is the type of game that I know the Kansas game, you know, it was such a big deal being in front of the home fans, where, you know, you kind of wanted to give your best foot, put as many people out there as could, I think. But, you know, without many eyes going to be on this game, just the people in the arena, would you anticipate, you know, like potentially them not playing some guys?
Potentially, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they held Jonas Adu out. And even in that Kansas game, I mean, Adu Thiro probably didn't get as much time as you would imagine him getting in the regular season. John L. Davis didn't start, though he did get a decent amount of minutes. So, I mean, I feel like they held some guys back a bit more than maybe meets the eye in that Kansas game. But I would expect them to, you know, it's an exhibition. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to be like, oh, Jonas, are you feeling like 60%? Okay, we're going to run you anyway or something like that. So, I mean, they're not going to risk anything. So, I mean, maybe they hold a guy like a Deuce Hero out if he's feeling a little rough or something like that. But, yeah, I wouldn't expect them to risk anything, especially with, you know, Lipscomb being, I guess, just about less than a week away, which is fun to say because it's hoop season, baby.
More people in the crowd. Yeah. Hey, Anthony, more people in the crowd tonight, Arkansas or TCU fans?
That'll be interesting. It's a good question.
I wouldn't be surprised to see more red.
TCU games, so I don't know. I mean, whenever I watch TCU games on TV, they get into it. So I'm hoping for a fun environment. I know, yeah. Dallas Fort Worth area has a lot of Arkansas alums as well. So I guess maybe we're going to get kind of that neutral court feel that John Calipari likes to get. Let me get like a 55-45 split for TCU, just because it'll be the first time people get to see this TCU team in public. But I think it'll be a pretty neutral court feel, I think.
None of us will ever know because we're never going to see any TV broadcasts of this. I'm going to say Arkansas has more people there. A few reasons why. I actually got four reasons. Number one, TCU fans are also high school football fans, and high school football is a religion in Texas.
Yeah.
They're going to be out at Aledo High School, and they're going to be at DeSoto, and they're going to be at all these different places, and watching different teams.
Not to cut you off, but I'll be honest. I kind of forgot it was Friday.
Yeah, no, they trust me, they did not forget. They did not forget.
Yeah.
Arkansas in the past, Dallas was like the basketball place where Arkansas people went to celebrate. I mean, the old Southwest Conference tournaments at Reunion Arena. NCAA tournaments being held in Dallas. Arkansas punched its ticket to the Final Four in 1990 at Reunion Arena, and in 94 at Reunion Arena. They went down there and they played an NCAA tournament game under Stan Heath and got beat by Bucknell in 2006 at American Airlines Center. You're going to see it next week whenever they play Baylor in Dallas down there. It's going to be a huge Razorback contingent there. Arkansas baseball, and it's a different group of fans to an extent for baseball. But when they play in Arlington, they outnumber every team they play there. They played TCU there a couple of years ago. There were 20,000 people in the seats, and about 14,000 of them were wearing red. I would not be surprised for this to be, at best, a neutral-type environment. The one thing that hurts Arkansas from a travel standpoint might be the fact that there's a football game here on campus tomorrow. But Dallas-Fort Worth is such a big Razorback town that there are going to be so many people who are excited about, hey, I can go drive for 20 minutes or 45 minutes or maybe an hour and see this team, see Calipari in person. I think you're going to have a lot of Arkansas fans at Dickey's Arena tonight.
I hadn't taken in the Friday factor into effect. Like I said, I did kind of.
You are not a Texan. Friday. You're not a Texan. That's why.
That too. I'm not a Texan.
they eat at Whataburger and they go to their local high school game.
But no, I'm expecting it to be a fun atmosphere. That's for sure. Especially, I mean, these are two teams that were in the Southwest Conference together, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
It'll be a good time.
You can read all Anthony's coverage tonight at wholehogsports.com. He's going to have a lot of coverage from this Arkansas TCU basketball game. Again, you can't see it. You can hear it on the Razorback Sports Network. Or if you're missing it, maybe you're out at an Arkansas high school football game this week. Anthony will keep you up to date on our website. Anthony, have a safe trip. Don't hit any deer.
Absolutely. Let me be your eyes and ears. I'll do my best.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. We'll see you soon. When we come back, Ethan and I will talk some Razorback football, also give our weekend predictions. In other words, from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, We are ShopCart. We are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being here with us. We'll get to Arkansas football talk here in just a minute. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. We want to tell you that the as we are recording this podcast, the Arkansas men's cross-country team has won another SEC championship. I don't have the number in front of me. I'd have to go back and look at what I've written in the past, Ethan. But I think this is like this is 50-something conference cross-country championships for the men in less than 60 years. It's incredible what they do.
Yeah, I've talked to Bob Holt about this before, just in general, the cross-country and track and field programs and how the SEC championships, everybody loves to talk about the national championships, but those SEC ones can be just as hard. And what they do there is pretty remarkable, how many they win. It's just the competition level in the SEC track and field is just so elite, and cross-country.
53 conference championships since 1950. So that's pretty amazing. You know, they won the last 17 Southwest Conference championships in cross country, and then they came into the SEC and they won the first 17, and then they've won all of them except for like maybe 3 or 4 years since then. It's incredible what they do in cross country. So congratulations to Chris Bucknum and his staff for winning another SEC cross country championship. That race was run down in College Station this morning. Ethan and I were actually watching it before the podcast began, and I wish we had the cameras rolling. Our cross country analysis, it might have been kind of humorous.
Yeah, we were we're really in depth with our cross country analysis.
I think I actually know what's going on fairly well.
I was more just admiring the drone shots of this golf course
/ horse ranch. Yeah, right.
It was pretty cool, but yeah.
Arkansas's women finished fourth in the SEC race. That was not unexpected. Alabama has an elite cross-country program right now, and Alabama won the SEC championship on the women's side. All right, let's get into predictions for this weekend.
Let's do it.
We'll give you some Arkansas Ole Miss thoughts here at the very end. The big game of the week is Penn State and Ohio State. It's whiteout conditions, but it's an 11 a.m. kickoff. It's that big noon kickoff game on Fox. Penn State's undefeated. This is a really interesting game this week.
Yeah, this is a big game. I'm really interested to see the situations with the Big Ten and the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love to focus on the SEC and what happens with two-loss teams, but like a two-loss Ohio State or like a one-loss Penn State, where do they fall in the pecking order? I'm going to pick Ohio State to win this one. I just think that they're a really solid team. I don't know how much I trust Penn State in this one.
Ohio State is the favorite on the road, a 3-point favorite. Of course, they'd be undefeated if maybe things went a little bit differently for them right there at the end against Oregon. I'm going to go Ohio State too. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of flip of the coin. I don't know that Penn State's really been tested this year. Yeah. I think Ohio State's been
their biggest win is more. Illinois.
Although I do like Penn State's tight end. I think that guy is phenomenal. He's really fun to watch. Another interesting game this week, Pittsburgh and SMU. Interesting on a couple of different levels. Pittsburgh, both of them are ranked for one. Pittsburgh 7-0. SMU, of course, coached by Rhett Lashley, the former Razorback, 7-1. This is an ACC game now. Both of them are undefeated in conference play. I was reading something about Pittsburgh this morning. They said Pat Narduzzi, Ross Dellinger wrote the story. Narduzzi went in last year after they were so bad, and he just cleaned house. Fired almost the entire offensive staff, brought in new personnel, and then they totally shifted the way they do NIL. Last year it was on a tiered system. This year it's based on how you perform is what your NIL. Which, by the way, let's quit calling it NIL. I'm going to go for P for P, play for play. But yeah. Go.
Yeah. Occasionally I'll say something smart on this podcast that every I look back on and I'm proud of. And one of them was me saying early on in the season with SMU, I said, listen, the BYU loss isn't a big deal because look at their schedule ahead. They can they control their own destiny, really, and it's not a tough schedule. But looking ahead at their schedule, I did not take into account Pitt being this good.
Yeah.
I think this is where SMU takes their second loss of the year, because I think Pitt is legit. I mean, other people might not see this and be that impressed, but them to beat Syracuse last week, 41-13, Syracuse has been playing pretty good, pretty well. I mean, they beat UNLV, Syracuse did. They beat Georgia Tech earlier in the year. Like, to beat them the way that they did told me something about Pitt. I think that they keep that undefeated record rolling.
SMU's at home. They're a 7-point favorite. I got the Ponies. I think they win. I have been impressed with SMU. I watched them against Nevada. I said, no way that line's going to hold up in a Power Four conference, and they've done it. They figured out a way to make it happen. I've been impressed with the way they've done it. They got Oregon, Michigan this week, perhaps this year's national champion, the number one team. They're playing last year's national champion. Oregon's a 14.5-point favorite in the Big House. That's probably the only other real notable non-conference game this week, even though Michigan is not they're not ranked. And then one that I just think is kind of cool, you've got Army, still undefeated, ranked 21st, playing Air Force this week. That game's going to be played in West Point. Army breaking out some special uniforms for this game, so that'll be worth watching as well. SEC games, we'll get to Arkansas Ole Miss here in a minute. Really, the game I think that well, let's start with the cocktail party. You got Georgia ranked number 2. You got Florida, who's unranked. They're playing this in Jacksonville like they always do. Did you see this week, though, where they're going to play in Atlanta next year, and then they're going to play in Tampa, and then they're going to move back to Jacksonville while the Jaguar Stadium undergoes some renovations? Did they not remember they've got home campuses?
It's like they didn't do the quick fix.
It's like the ADs are so concerned with, hey, if we put this thing on campus, the demand to have it on campus forever is going to be so high that we're never going to be able to go back to Jacksonville. And it feels like they really went out of their way to avoid putting it in Gainesville or in Athens.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Really, Georgia's a big favorite, by the way.
Yeah, I'm picking Georgia. I think Florida's playing a lot better right now than they did the beginning of the year whenever we just absolutely dogged on them. At least I did. But Georgia's also hitting its stride.
Georgia, I loved how they looked against Texas the other day. You take away the first half against Alabama, and Georgia's pretty much looked like, for the most part, not completely, but they pretty much look like Georgia, what we expect from them. Maybe the second half against Mississippi State, too, because they allowed the Bulldogs back in.
I wouldn't be surprised if this one's closer than people think, though.
It's a 14.5-point spread. Georgia. Yeah, I think Georgia wins this game, and they continue to march on. They would play Ole Miss next, or they do play Ole Miss next week in Oxford. So that's a big SEC game around the corner. 11:45 kickoff on SEC Network. Vanderbilt goes to Auburn. Bob Holt wrote a great story this week in his SEC report. Diego Pavia has beaten Hugh Freeze's team the last 2 years. New Mexico State beat Liberty in 2022. New Mexico State beat Auburn in 2023. Everybody remembers that game. And now Pavia takes Vanderbilt to Auburn.
Yeah, I do think this is when it comes to an end for Pavia, though. I'm going to take Auburn at home. I think that
Auburn's an 8-point favorite. That is the line that has shocked me all week.
Because I think Auburn, if you like, just watch them play, their record could be totally different right now.
But they're not playing good teams.
I don't think Vanderbilt's great. I think Vanderbilt's a lot better than they have.
Vanderbilt's played a better schedule than Auburn's played.
Yeah, their toughest road game was they've gone on the road to Mizzou and Kentucky, and they lost on the road to Georgia State. I just think Jordan Hare is going to overwhelm them.
I think Vanderbilt wins. I think Pavia, he gets Freeze again. I can't wait to see if he beats Hugh Freeze again. I can't wait to see Hugh Freeze.
This is
reaction.
Definitely my circled sicko game of the week.
If Hugh Freeze loses this game, I don't know that he survives year two at Auburn. I don't know what his buyout situation is there. I just know that Auburn has been extremely cutthroat with its football coaches throughout the years. A couple of really just disinteresting games in the SEC this week. Maine goes to Oklahoma. That's going to be a 1:30 kickoff on ESPN+. UMass is at Mississippi State. 3:15 kickoff on SEC Network. Night game on SEC Network, 6:45 kickoff. Kentucky without an offense goes to Tennessee.
Yeah, and they're going to get beat very badly, I think.
I think so, too. Tennessee, 17.5-point favorite. I would not be surprised if Tennessee covers that spread. Defense has always been what Mark Stoops' teams have prided themselves on, and they don't look like a Mark Stoops defense, and the offense is just terrible.
Yeah, they started off the year playing pretty good defensively, and then I don't know what happened, but not good things.
6:30 kickoff, A&M at South Carolina. Remember 2 years ago, it was right around this time of year, Tennessee went to Williams-Brice Stadium, and they had their playoff hopes derailed by South Carolina. That was the night that their quarterback got hurt for the season. They beat Clemson that year, too. It wasn't at Williams-Brice, but they beat Clemson the next week in Clemson and ended their playoff hopes. So Shane Beamer's team's got a little bit of a reputation for being a playoff killer.
Yeah, they're pesky for sure. I think that I went back and forth on this one because, I mean, I could very well see South Carolina
winning
this game.
They're coming off a bye, too.
Both teams are really disruptive with the quarterback. Their sack numbers are super high, just good defensive fronts. I think that's the key to the game of which quarterback doesn't feel as much pressure. I'm going to pick A&M. I just think that they're a pretty complete team in my eyes right now. And ever since that opening loss to Notre Dame, they've just gotten better and better. So I see it continuing.
I'm a big believer in momentum from 1 week carrying over to the next. We saw it with LSU when they came in here after beating Ole Miss, and they looked so good early on against Arkansas. I think it'll carry A&M this week.
I think they'll beat
South Carolina. But there's two true freshman quarterbacks in this game, Lenora Sellers and Marcel Reed. And again, that you just never know what you're going to get with freshman QBs.
And the thing about momentum, too, South Carolina did just thump Oklahoma, then get a bye. So you just wonder
teams
how.
Teams haven't been as good coming off a bye this year.
Yeah.
Look what happened. I'm going to use just a couple of examples here, but look what happened to Arkansas after they came off a bye against LSU. Look what happened to Tennessee when they came off a bye against Arkansas.
Yeah, I'd have to look by and large and see, because that's fresh on our minds with Arkansas' schedule. On Arkansas' schedule, at least, that's been the case. I'd be curious to see how the trend has been across the SEC, but I think it's going to be a very good game.
Did you intend your pun?
By and large.
We're talking about bye games.
Oh, yeah. That was 100% intended.
See, I'm listening better now.
Oh, yeah. See, we've progressed over the season, too.
So. We're better. Ole Miss, Arkansas, 11 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. The Rebels 6-2 overall, 2-2 in the SEC. Arkansas 5-3 overall, 3-2 in the SEC. If Arkansas wins this game, they would clinch bowl eligibility quickest since Bobby Petrino's last year as head coach. That's kind of interesting. They'd also be 4-2. You know, I don't think Arkansas is going to Atlanta, but they're not eliminated yet. There's a lot of 2-loss teams that are there, including Ole Miss, who if chaos ensues in front of them over the next few weeks, maybe they backdoor their way into an SEC championship game. Again, it's all about just kind of keeping hope at this point in time. Arkansas, obviously, like I said, could get a bowl berth with this game. Weather does not look promising. Looks like we're going to have a high chance of rain throughout this game. Maybe not when the game begins, but I think it would really surprise if rain is not a factor in this game. We've heard people talk about it all week. Ole Miss has not been running the ball well. You need to be able to run the ball in a rain game. That might be an area where Arkansas gets an advantage. Who knows? But the rain always feels like it can be. It's not always this way, but it can be a little bit of a leveling of the playing field. Ole Miss a 7.5-point favorite. What you got?
Yeah, well, the weather outlook's gotten a lot more promising today. I checked it a minute ago, and it's down
depends
below.
On which app you look at. If you look at the Weather Service, it's going to rain. If you look at Weather Channel, it's not going to rain.
Yeah, Weather Channel has it all.
I don't trust Weather Channel.
Weather Channel has it all afternoon long, below 15%. So
go to the Weather Service.
All I know is I looked at Weather Channel all week, and this is the most promising it's been. So it might be trending in a good direction. But I think in a rain game it would benefit Ole Miss, honestly. I think Ole Miss is fourth in the SEC in rushing offense, and then they're number one in rushing defense.
But how much of that rushing offense was built up against bad competition earlier in the year?
Well, I'm still looking at the rushing defense, though, too, which I know that goes the same way. They're very good defensively. And I think that in a rain game it a lot of times comes down to which quarterback can make a – like, you got to pass the ball still a little bit, and it's like I just wouldn't trust Taylen Green in a rain game for some – like. Just the turnover issues. But take the rain out of the picture and just have these teams against each other. I just think Ole Miss is so strong defensively. This is a huge challenge for Arkansas. Their offense is great, too, but I think that defense is going to be the best that Arkansas has faced, and they really get after the quarterback.
Maybe.
I think it's going to be, in my opinion, I look at this, I think this is the best defense they've faced by far.
Ole Miss and Tennessee, they're right there neck and neck for the best defense in the SEC right now. Ole Miss, I think they're only giving up 11 points per game.
Yeah.
A little bit higher in SEC play because the competition has been better. I know I'm like a broken record. I trust the efficiency ratings that give us it gives us a snapshot of how well a team scores relative to its opportunities. It gives you a snapshot of stop rate, and not just in your games, but in all of the games against Power 4 competition. It says that Ole Miss is the best team in the SEC, and you might shake your head at that and say, no way, but you look at Ole Miss. I mean, they never trailed in regulation against LSU. They were a fourth and 20-something away from beating Kentucky. You can say, you can say what might have been for a lot of different teams. The point being that based on the data that we have right now, Ole Miss would be favored to beat every team in the SEC. And so the fact that they've got two losses, I think maybe says a little bit about them. But still, it's a team that I think is very talented. I think that their two losses maybe cause people to sleep on them a little bit. I'm picking Ole Miss, Arkansas Ole Miss. Wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas wins this at all. It's a series that's been, I wrote this 8 years ago, 108 years of unpredictable. It's 116 years of unpredictable at this point. You just never know what's going to happen. Ole Miss has not played well in Fayetteville, but they also haven't played they haven't played in Fayetteville every year either. They've won some games in Little Rock, and so you kind of have to take that stat a little bit with a grain of salt, the fact that they haven't won here since 2008. I'm picking Ole Miss. I think they're a better team than Arkansas, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see Arkansas pull an upset. I feel like Arkansas has better upset chances in 2 weeks when Texas comes to town.
Yeah,
I think they match up better with Texas than I think they match up with Ole Miss.
I agree. I just that defensive front for Ole Miss is very good, and it just it's going to take the best. I wrote this in our predictions for it's on Whole Hog Sports right now, but I think if Arkansas to win, they got to have their best defensive performance of the year and the best pass protection. So if those two things hold up, you know, Arkansas has a real chance.
Both of these teams, they're going to play a different look than they saw last week. Arkansas against a terrible Mississippi State defense, Ole Miss against a terrible Oklahoma offense. What's the adjustment like early in this game? That might be that might play a factor in who wins and in who loses on Saturday. We hope you come to our website throughout the weekend. Again, Arkansas-TCU basketball tonight. Anthony will have content, not just tonight, but throughout the weekend, kind of follow-up stories from Fort Worth. Also, all of our coverage from Arkansas and Ole Miss over at Razorback Stadium. We appreciate you being here. Hope we'll see you at our website throughout the weekend, and we hope we'll see you on Monday for another podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone.